So Matthew places a lot of emphasis on hearing the word of the Lord. And at the end of Mark's version of the parables, he ponders whether we truly hear the message of Jesus. Matthew wants to know if we really understand with our hearts, and Jesus uses parables as a device, as an effective way to give life to concepts that otherwise are difficult to understand. It's effective, part of storytelling, but it's only effective if the listener understands the references. Jesus compared the kingdom of heaven to several concepts to enhance the crowds and our understanding. You know, those on the beach are listening to what Jesus said in the parable of the mustard seed, that the kingdom of heaven has already begun with Jesus. It has not come with a magnificent procession. You know, they expected this white horse and this great bang in the sky, and wow, it's Jesus. It came unexpectedly, unnoticed. After two detailed parables about the sower, the mustard seed, the weeds, the darnel weeds, the crowd's probably talking among themselves. They're on this hillside, sitting, walking, talking, discussing what they have heard. And maybe somewhere in the middle of the crowd, someone stands up, looks at Jesus and says, "Hey, tell us more about the kingdom of heaven." And Jesus concludes his message by telling them what the kingdom of heaven is like. A mustard seed. He tells a crowd that it's very modest beginnings. Great things will grow. Something as small as a mustard seed that is almost invisible can produce overwhelming impact. It reassures us that God's empire is always at work, and those who believe in God is absent from the world or ineffective in this parable. It illuminates a contrary affirmation and a vision of God's continuous activity. Yeast. Yeast, when added to flour, causes it to rise. How many guys or ladies have you cooked and forgotten yeast and see what happens? Yeah, nothing. It's a bunch of flour. The presence of God's kingdom empowers his people to rise above the circumstances and Satan's presence. I want to read that one. The kingdom of, it empowers us to rise above life's circumstances and the presence of Satan. Satan is present. Satan's present. He's not in here. It's outside that door. And he will try to attack you dozens of times today. But Jesus allows you to fight him. The hidden treasure. Heaven brings joy, just as the man that Jesus described was so filled with joy that he risked it all to obtain more. The kingdom of heaven is not simply joy. It's a joy that's worth all we have. We must seek the kingdom of heaven to find it. And when we find it, we found a treasure of unmeasurable value. The treasures will empower us to rise above daily life situations. The merchant. The pearl in this parable is the kingdom of heaven. It's a value worth more than all we have. It's a prize that must be sought after, and it's not easily obtained. The net. Although the net catches fish of every kind, the angels are going to come. And they're going to separate evil and cast them into this burning sea, this burning cauldron. Just as the fish exist together in the oceans, we also have to try to live together and leave the judgment to God. Now, I know no one here at St. Paul's is ever judgmental. But I am. And I got to leave that to God. Let God be the judgment. The last parable describes a scribe trained for the kingdom of heaven. And as a scribe for the kingdom of heaven, our lives are devoted to the truth of the gospel and sharing it with others. Following Jesus may not seem to be what we hoped for at the beginning. And these parables urge us to abandon whatever we think is most important in life and focus on what God wants. The kingdom of heaven is already here, and our lives must express the ultimate value found only in Christ. There is nothing else that has unmeasurable worth except Christ. These parables should teach us not to be quick to judge others. It's very tempting to make snap judgments about other people based on minimal information. Only God can truly judge someone's heart. The second thing these parables teach us is to be careful. Just because someone claims to be a Christian, sounds like one, even acts like one, it doesn't mean we should follow them blindly. We need to examine everything we are taught against God's word. See, this is a fairly mature audience, so remember Jimmy Swaggart and all those TV evangelists, all the people that followed him? What was the guy's name down in Guyana? I always forget his name. Jim
Baker.
Is that Baker that did the poison?
Yeah.
No, Jimmy Baker and Tammy Faye, but there was one down in South America too that they gave lemonade. Jones.
Yeah.
All those hundreds of people that were there followed him blindly. And I remember the millennium. And people saw the end of the 2000s, the end of the world. Or the Aztec calendar. Well, the world's going to end. People follow things blindly. Examine everything for yourself. Whatever someone says, go to the Bible. See what you think. Satan's planted all manners of seed of deceit, lies, falsehoods in the world around us. And it's easy to be led astray and into ungodly beliefs and actions if we follow blindly. If you're not on guard against false teachings, they're going to creep into your life. And potentially, they'll have destructive consequences. The only way we can be certain that we're being taught correctly is to check it out for ourselves. Read the Bible for yourself. It's the only way to ensure that you're not being led astray. Never blindly accept what others tell you the Bible teaches. There are weeds even among religious leaders. So I grew up in Missouri Synod, and I grew up in St. Louis, and I grew a block away from the seminary. And so we were fairly entrenched. Actually, there's a Brower Hall at the Lutheran Seminary there. That was my great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather. So we're pretty entrenched in all that stuff. And back in the 70s, they had this big schism where you had Missouri Synod in absence, and you had Missouri Synod. And then ELCA got created. And then other synods are created. Wow. Over meaningless things. Let God make that judge for you. And when it says there are weeds among religious leaders, there's weeds everywhere. God won't allow evil forever. People argue that if God really existed and was good, he wouldn't allow bad things to happen. We've all heard this from people. Why did he let someone die? Why did he let the war happen? Why? God knows trying to remove weeds prior to the harvest, but prevents the good seeds from growing to its full potential. These darnel weeds they talked about in the Bible, so the roots go down and the roots go out. Wheat goes straight down, and so as these roots go out, they cling onto these wheat roots. And if you pull out the weed, you pull out the wheat at the same time. I don't have the answer to why. Maybe I wouldn't even understand it if I had the answer to why. But I do know there's a day coming when God will punish and eradicate evil. He's not asleep. He's not absent. He's not uncaring. You hear me say this often enough. He loves us. God loves you. God loves us. You want to examine your own heart. Wheat and darnel weeds look very similar and grow in the same fields. Don't be complacent when you look at your own heart. It's tempting to think that because you go to church, you know the words to hymns, you go to the Bible study, you know a bunch of facts about the Bible, that you're wheat. Just because you find yourself in a wheat field doesn't mean that you're wheat. God's not going to be fooled by our outward appearance, but looks into our hearts. Be honest with yourself. Are you striving to get closer to God or just going through motions? Are you chasing after things of God or things of the world? Answers to these questions will give you an indication of whether you're wheat or are you a weed. Remember the power that you have at your disposal. You have the ability to have a tremendous impact on the world around you, even when it doesn't look like it's happening. Oftentimes, the impact occurs a little at a time, and when you look back, you can see how much God has used you. What you cultivate is going to be what you grow. Are you cultivating faith in your life and those around you? What kind of seeds are you planting? What are you cultivating? In today's world, we're not comfortable talking about God's judgment. Oh, wow, it's really uncomfortable to talk about. Some people are going to go to a burning hell. Not comfortable. We don't want to offend anybody or scare them away with stories of unquenchable fire, wailing cries, gnashing teeth. For every parable of judgment, God tells us many more about joy and uncounted treasures. Who in here grew up on a farm or had a farm? Anybody? It's hard work. There you go. Yeah, farming's hard work. Good crops just don't happen. Poof. Takes a lot of effort. Good harvest only come because of doing the right things and putting in the effort. Jesus reminds us that there's a harvest someday, maybe someday soon. So do what's needed now to ensure you won't be disappointed at harvest time. Do the will of God. I love George Carlin. He was a strange person. He's a 20th century comedian. But he says, I was reading about how people seem to read the Bible a lot more as they get older. And then it dawned upon me, they're cramming for the final exam. God loves you, and through Jesus alone, and grace alone, and faith alone. Amen.